Welcome, Jets fans, to this week's review of the Jetstream. I'm your host, David, and joining me today for the review of the Jets' first win for the season against the Western Sydney Wanderers. First of all, is Grant. How are you, mate?
Well, g'day. Very good. Great. In fact, great good. Weekend, wasn't it?
It was, mate. It was a great weekend. Any weekend is a good weekend.
It is.
And of course, backing up for us today is a man who's recently been fired from his job as an apprentice groundskeeper down in Sydney. It is Luke. How are you, mate?
What was that?
Mate, it's something that we're making up on the go. What's this bottle of Roundup do?
Okay, let's go with it then. I had this whole nice introduction for you, David, and now I don't know if I can do it because I've just been thrown under the bus like this.
Mate, very good. Well, that's fine. That's fine. I'm here to keep you on your toes, and if you're not ready for whatever comes at you, because, look, technology gods haven't been with us today. We are starting the recording at least 25 minutes after we intended to, because I've been fighting with my computer for an hour. Thank you very much, Bill Gates and Microsoft Updates. You suck. So before we talk about something that sucks even more than Microsoft, we're going to, that being, of course, the pitch on the weekend, we're going to go to our opening question, and this week's opening question is, what's your favourite Arnold Schwarzenegger movie? Luke, we're going to start with you, mate. Fire away.
I had to think about it because I struggled a fair bit to, I guess, figure out which movie I liked, but thanks to fellow Jetstream contributor Mitch, I'm going to go with Jingle All the Way. Kind of timely given that it's almost Christmas. And, it's got its moments. It's cringy as hell. It also has Phil Hartman in it.
Well, there's your Simpsons reference. There's your bit of Simpsons love for it.
So. You can't get much more Simpsons than Phil Hartman.
And look, it's a Christmas staple, of course. So it's a good one, mate. Very, very well done. Grant, what about you?
For me, it's got to be Twins. I think that with Danny DeVito, look, he really is a good comic sidekick, and it was the premise of the movie was pretty good. But he did get better as his movies got as he did more movies, because Conan Barbarian would his very first movie would have to be one of the best ones where he didn't speak at all. So Arnie's not too bad.
Well,
he's.
I was going to say, for me, it's got to be True Lies. It's True Lies. It's one that I've always got to watch when it comes on. The comedy around there with Tom, in that movie with Tom Arnold as well, I really enjoyed the dogs run up and he claps the dogs together and goes, stay. Classic lines. Like, it's just classic Arnie. It's a brilliant movie. Always got to watch it. Bit of action. Love it. So that's a good one. So, if you've got, thanks as well for those, Ryan Stanley Stanmore, for example, Lucas, for your answers on Facebook as well. We've got Last Action Hero, Terminator 2, and of course, Kindergarten Cops, some all pretty solid replies in there as well, so thanks very much. All right, well, before we get into that, before we get into talking about the game, let's listen to what let's listen to Fox Sports, of course, and their highlights, and thank you again to Fox Sports Audio for the use of their audio.
Well, can the Newcastle Jets get their first win of the season? Or will the Wanderers enjoy this return to Spotless Stadium? They're sitting there on 5 points through the first four rounds, while the Jets are languishing with just 2 points, courtesy of a couple of draws so far. Fans want him to shoot. Wristed tees it up instead. Oh, the youngster had the chance for his first A-League goal on his starting debut, and I think he was surprised about the way the ball got to him.
All he needs to do is head it.
It's a remarkable save, isn't it, by Clint Moss. He might have been too tall for it. Finds his man. Top off Stanley. Tapped home, is it? Yes! By the Jets for the opener. And it is Jason Hoffman leading the line, who puts Newcastle in front at Spotless. And Nikolai Topor-Stanley with a really clever assist.
Yeah, it looked like he was shaping for the shot, but he definitely plays it across to Hoffman, and they just switched off the Wanderers.
Llorente. Back post! Oh, off the post, Riera. Couldn't steer the header home. equaliser, still won't come. Vargas, beautiful play, right through the middle. Hoffman still, oh, what a save in the end. And on the follow-up, it's blocked out for a corner, but Janjetovic has come up with a huge stop for his team.
Well, straight through the middle as well.
Oh, Hoffman, trying to turn provider. Vargas, oh, secondary save from Janjetovic, keeping his team in it. What a game he's having in a losing cause right now. Oh, Majok onside, around the keeper, Majok! Not to be for the 20-year-old tonight, who slams the turf in frustration. He's so quick, but he couldn't quite catch up with it in time.
Well, his first touch is actually heavy, but it surprises Glenn Moss, and then it rolls, and it looked impossible as it rolled on. And it's almost impossible to put it in from there.
Petratos heading towards goal. Dimi Petratos, unselfish. The Jets do have their first win of the season. And Ronnie Vargas stroking it home. Unselfishly teed up by Dimi Petratos. And the Wanderers are knocked off at spotless.
Great composure from Petratos. Eliminates Tarek Elridge, and that's just... takes it so easily, just passes that one in with power, pass with power into the back of the net. Emphatic finish. Disappointing end for the Wanderers, but well done to the Jets. Very professional performance from them.
And they climb to mid-table now with 5 points through five rounds.
All right, thank you very much, guys. Well, good to get off the mark, Grant. What do you say? 3 points is 3 points, no matter how you get them.
Well, look, it was an ugly win, wasn't it? But it did show, again, we hung on. Look, I was sure after watching the first 20, I thought, oh, we're going to come away with even our tails between our legs. But the boys stuck it out. They scored. Then they did it again later and right at the death there as well. So look, good on them. I think they'll take that. They'll go on from here. Confident now. Very confident.
Luke, I thought that it was a case that it was going to be a case of what we always seem to come across with the Jets, where it's they pepper the goal, they have really good opportunities, but they always seem to fail to take them until the opposition then get their chance, they take it and can sit back, because the Jets haven't really been able to trouble the scorers as much this year, but it wasn't to be the case.
No, I think that's because we found a team that's worse at finishing than we are. I think especially at the start of the second half, we had two good chances with Hoffman running through and pegging it straight at Janjetovic, and then Jair attempted a scissor kick from the rebound, which didn't really do too much. But it definitely was a case of, you know, we, as has been the case all year, we get up there and then we just don't know what to do with it almost. But as I said, fortunately for us, Wanderers were that was some of the worst finishing I've ever seen in the league from their front three, so I think we were very lucky to come up against a squad that is in, I guess, worse form than us at the moment.
I mean, I think that there was only one group that could be said to have had worse finishing involved with this game, and that was probably the cleaners of the stadium, Grant. let's talk about it. The condition of the pitch was certainly horrendous. It was an issue. How the fact that the game went on, I don't know. I mean, they were scouring the pitch beforehand. There were lines of people, photos of lines of people going across, looking, picking up shards of plastic, which they look like they've been crushed. But I actually reckon they've gone through a mower, personally. They've mowed it and they've gone through it. I mean, how was the game allowed to start?
What you said about the mower, I think that might have been mentioned, that they had that party, or they had that concert or something, and all the cups had blown onto the surface and then just got mowed in. But you're right about that. It looked like a police line doing an emu bob looking for murder evidence or something. And it almost was, with the way that what happened to some of the players out there. There was a couple of patches there that were just absolutely rubbish. There was large chunks of that field were just recently re-turfed, and not only was it sort of like, oh, you've seen it before where it's a little bit sandy and it digs up the tufts and that, but this seemed to be almost boggy and muddy, as if they've pumped so much water on it. And the soil itself was so slippery, and so the guys were, you know, they were losing traction and they were losing their feet. And I wonder if they contributed to a couple of, you know, near misses and injuries, and especially with Georgeski's injury. I've got a suspicion that the ground may have contributed to that injury at the end of the game there. So look, it was a disgrace, and look at it, and it only goes to show you that it's all about the money. Because they, no way in the world Fox wanted it called off, and so therefore you go out and play. Yeah, yeah. That's the only thing it comes down to.
Well, they would have been one of the contributors to the decision, Luke, as to whether the game went ahead or not. But surely the decision ultimately lies with the referee and the match officials.
Well, that's what you're always told going down to community football and state league football and everything, is that if the ground isn't up to expectations or what it needs to be, then the referee has the authority to call the game off. So whether someone said to him, no, that's not an option at all, or whatever, I can't imagine that. Because we had one of the Japanese referees on the ref exchange for the weekend, so I can't imagine that he would have been too thrilled about having to run on that himself, given that, you know, he's got to look after himself. He's just as... Well, you saw how many people were slipping over all game, so, you know, all it takes is for something to happen, then he cops an injury, and what do you do from there? Like, there was something that could be completely avoided. But, I think Grant's fairly on the mark there. I think, it's not too often we see games called off in the A-League. There's been times that there probably should have been and weren't. I think this is one of those times as well.
I mean, I can appreciate that stadiums need to make money. They're a venue that at best is used once a weekend all year round, at best. Opening themselves up to concerts or shows like Krusty Demons or whatever it is a way for them to generate income and rental from the use of their facilities. But if the excuses are to be believed that the ground wasn't, that the surrounding stands weren't clean, and then the plastic cups were blown in with the very strong winds that we had on Thursday, Friday, then they've only got themselves to blame, Grant.
Oh, look, it just shows you, though, because, you know, what you're saying about making money is dead set right. Whether it's been owned by the New South Wales state government, or whether it's privately owned, and I don't know too many of those big stadiums that are privately owned. They've all got the money, you know, the state's got their hooks in there somewhere, and to run those things is very expensive. So it wouldn't be untoward for them to skip on the cleaning side of things and, not get it done in time. And maybe they didn't take account for the big winds that were there and blowing all that rubbish around. But look, I can understand with the plastic shards, but where the frig did Ernie get that screw from?
Yeah, that's pretty rank. That's pretty ordinary.
Look, that's amazing, and surprises me, because as I say, that there were injuries from not only the turf itself being rubbish, but those tiny shards of bloody plastic and screws that are on the ground. I guarantee you, they're still there. They don't sort of just get sucked up with one handful.
Yeah, well, Daniel Georgeski's injury has been attributed to the condition of the pitch. He's reported as saying he hit a hard patch and then put his foot down beside it, and there was a really soft patch, and his leg went out from under him, and that's what has aggravated his groin, which is really disappointing. And we'll come on to talk about that a little bit later. But enough about the condition of the pitch. We need to talk about the game. And, Luke, the Jets moved into the game with an unchanged lineup from the previous game against Sydney FC. Did that surprise you at all?
I don't think so, only given that Kane Shepherd was injured from that Sydney FC game. I think in the lead-up I would have liked to have seen him start, have Hoffey moved to the wing and have Jair drop to the bench. Given that Shepherd's out, I think you couldn't really expect too much else, or too many possible changes from the squad. Rydenton's still out. We did see Voyager make his first appearance from the bench. Mm-hmm. But I don't think there was too many surprises there that you could have really expected. Now, once we get to the sort of end of December, start of January and stuff, and you start seeing Roy and Joey come back from their time off, you know, I think we might start seeing a lot of the changes. But I think for now, Ernie's just sticking with what's working for him and what he currently has available.
Yeah, look, I think that Roy O'Donovan actually is going to be the catalyst for changes within that starting lineup. I reckon he's probably just trying to hold the fort until we get through that, and Roy can have his first game of the season down at the Central Coast again. But, Grant, with a couple of weeks that the A-League team had off with the international fixtures, they started to look a little bit sharper, but the touches just weren't coming off. Whether that was attributed to the ground or not, I'm not sure. But they were trying, but it still wasn't quite clicking, in my opinion.
Mm. Yeah, look, I thought their urgency to shoot and to try and score was a lot better. There was a lot more attacks on the goals than we've seen in the past, I think. Yes, that might prove me wrong, but just from what I was watching, the impressions that I got that we were trying to attack the goals rather than trying to continuously set it up, lose it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of those didn't come off, but, you know, again, we know that the more you shoot, the more you're going to bloody score. So it was quite good to see. And, you know, there was a lot of people, I suppose, calling on the interwebs that wanted to see changes made. But, you know, who are you going to change? You know, at the moment, there is obviously some discussion about Jackson. Hoffey up front in the nine position, I think, was, you know, did quite well. You know, he was there at the right spot. He scored the goal, and that's what kicked it off for us. So, yeah, look, Ernie doesn't change him around too much. But I think you're spot on in regards to just hanging on until we see O'Donovan come back. We see Champions come back, and then we've got some real options, because we then could look at doing something with Jha, and whether that's good, bad, or indifferent, I don't know. But we sit with bated breath until we and see what happens. The next few weeks will tell.
Luke, a player that's been under a fair bit of scrutiny, as well as some of those that Grant mentioned, has been Jason Hoffman, but he managed to get his first goal for the season on the 25th minute. It was a beautiful ball into Nikolai Topol-Stanley. Who was it from? Was it from Jugarkovic?
From Petrados.
From Petrados, sorry. Yes. Okay, good work.
Topol-Stanley.
Into Topol-Stanley, and he's played it across field to Hoffey to sort of bundle into the corner. It wasn't the most convincing finish from Hoff, but
it was our next Puskas nominated goal.
So it wasn't. I mean, good to see Hoffey get his goal.
Yeah, absolutely. He's as you said, he's come under some scrutiny. I don't think he's been playing too bad. I just think he's not used to playing up front. He's spent the last few years as a right back. We saw him move up the field a bit more last year, playing on the wing when Naboot was playing up front during Roy's injuries. I think he's probably a lot more suited to the wing rather than an out-and-out striker. But as we said, we don't really have too many other options at the moment to play up front. Now, Jair potentially, but obviously we don't know what he's actually like up there. If he's anything like he's on the wing, then it's probably not the best option to have up there. But Hoffey, he's got his first for the season. He went on a run last year of scoring. So, I mean, it's hopefully the first of many. And I'm sure at the end of the day, yes, it was a very scrappy goal. But they all count regardless of how they go in.
I mean, early on as well, Glenn Moss was forced into a terrific save. Abraham Majok got his debut for the Western Sydney Wanderers. And I wasn't sure what to expect, Grant, but geez, he was quick. We struggled to get a hold of him, and it's times like that where players on their debut, they're full of adrenaline that anything can happen. They try the audacious, and I don't know, but the miss that he had, I mean, it was. Look, we've seen Braden Crowley knock the ball over from a metre out, knock the ball over the bar from a metre out, and that was a bad miss, but it was also a really good save from Glenn Moss.
Look, he had to hit it with his head, but I think he hit it with his face, or so it might have been his upper chest. And I couldn't understand. I suppose he's a big, tall lad, and maybe he couldn't get down. Or it did come off. It did get a deflection off Jackson, and or maybe the spin on it sort of put him off at that last split second. Mm-hmm. But that reflex save from Moss is one of the best I've seen for a long time. That was just pure reflex. He stuck that big mid of his out, went down to the right, and stuck that.
He swung a punch right at it.
Look, it was just, and the power, because that was coming off at some speed as well. And, Speedy, the bloody commentator, the goose, he said, oh, well, yeah, definitely, the bar's going to be looking at that because it's been gone over the line or whatever. And I'm thinking,
Speedy probably gets a Happy Meal per mention of the bar.
I think that's what happens. And
it was pretty much how I recall it as well.
I mean,
just on his save there, Moss won save of the week for that save against Bajok. I agree. He was out of it. He had to dive backwards and managed to. I think that if Bajok had got any sort of decent contact on it, it's definitely 1-0 to Wanderers. But luckily for us, he didn't. And luckily, Mossy was there to clear it out.
And Luke, Glenn Moss is a player as well who was wouldn't have been happy with his performance against Sydney FC, given the way and the manner that he conceded the goal. But I thought this was one of his best performances for the Jets. Though he only had 5 shots on target, Western Sydney, he only had 5 shots on target to face. I still thought his overall game was good.
Yeah, he only had the 5 shots, but it was the other work that was happening because there was a lot of overlapping runs and a lot of the balls coming in all over the place from Kamau and Majok. So there was a lot of work for him to do, and I think it was a sort of strange game for him because he seemed to, and this is going to the state of the pitch as well, but he seemed to misjudge a lot of balls that were coming in. Mm-hmm. There was one shot from Majok later on where Moss has come out and Majok's rounded him, but he had the touch of an elephant and missed the empty net. it did seem a bit strange. There was another one just before half time where he looked like he didn't have solid footing, or he slipped, or he wasn't expecting the flight of the ball. But Riera had an open header at the back post and he's hit the post off it. But in saying that, he was, I'll say now, he was my man of the match. He definitely kept us in the game, and some of the defensive work he did, clearances, saves, without them, we definitely wouldn't have won that game.
Grant, I mean, you spoke about Jair earlier. He spent a lot of his time out on the left, a position that we've been used to seeing him play so far this year. But at the beginning of the second half, I noticed that he was moved more to the centre of the attack. And that wasn't long before he was removed. And are you starting to see, for Thurgate, are you starting to look at this experiment reaching a conclusion? Or do you think Ernie may have been trying something with a view to this week's game against Melbourne City?
Yeah, well, I've got grave concerns. You know, have we got another Visa dud? He's certainly, there's a few other teammates or people that have played over in the K-League that he played over in Korea, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, I was saying, they're talking about him in, with a great deal of respect about his scoring ability and all of that. And, gee, we're not seeing it, are we? There's nothing that sort of coming out of what the guy's doing. He had a couple more cracks at it in the game against the Wanderers, but a couple of times there, I noticed he just again he's not tracking back, which is you cannot afford. We can't have that in this game. In the A-League, your attackers need to be defenders as well, and that's something that he's not that flash at. And I don't know if it's is it still a fitness thing? We're subbing our visa players off again to put bench players on. You know, is this a Wayne Brown all over again? You know, which is he's good. You know, he's not too bad. Geez, to be handy on the bench, but you know, boy, he's a visa player. If he's got to be on the bench, he's got to be on the bus type of thing.
Luke, are you thinking along the same lines of Grant with JF?
I think so. When you sign visa players, you expect them to be much better quality than the players you've already got. If they're not, what's the point in having them? You have to pay more money for them. You could have Aussie players, young Aussie players coming through, take that spot. I think we're... as a fan, I think I feel a lot more comfortable seeing Thurgate on the field than I do Jair. He hasn't shown anything to me yet to warrant a starting spot, let alone a bench spot. Yes, he had the scissor kick, but it's been 5 games. You need more than that. Like, you'd expect him to be taking shots. You'd expect him to be creating chances, and we're just not seeing that. As Grant said, his defensive work's non-existent almost, and you're taught at a community football level that the first line of defence starts with the strikers. So, you know, if you're, you can't be sort of, I guess, saying that to kids and then expecting, oh no, let's let this winger who's got international experience get away with it because he's visa. No, you need someone there. You need someone defending. You need someone who's going to be able to do a job, and he's not doing it.
Yeah, I think we'll see something very shortly. Thurgate came on and really revitalised the whole team, didn't he?
Yeah.
One player whose performance I think did stand out and rightly awarded the man of the match was Nikolai Topol-Stanley. I mean, Grant, he gave me a heartache or a heart attack in the first half where he was just watching and dawdling on the ball and Majokas just burst past him and there was it was right towards the end of the first half. But other than that, I thought that Nikolai Chopper Stanley with that mo was wonderful on the weekend.
Look, I know that part of the game you're talking about. And at one stage, I thought has the video slowed down? You know, and Majok's come through at a normal pace, but no, it's not true. You know, I think a lot of people got surprised at the speed of that young bloke. He's blistering pace, and he's going to be somebody to watch. But yeah, you're dead right about Topper. He just absolutely stood up when it needed to be. We needed somebody to stand up, and I believe both he and Moss made the team of the week. I've seen a media thing flash up on my machines. Yeah, and so Glenn, as I say, you said Glenn Moss gets a save of the round. So that really says a lot, I suppose. When you think about it, we won two nil, and and we get two players in the team of the week, and they're both defensive. That tells you a bit about the game, doesn't it? As Ernie said, I think we were rubbish. Yeah.
But, fair enough.
No, he stood up. He stood tall. Good on him.
Let's talk about the other part of the defence. We touched on Daniel Georgeski's groin injury earlier. I thought, Luke, that his form was starting to improve over the last couple of weeks, probably because he was starting to have a bit of freedom to get forward a little bit more than he had at the beginning of the season. Disappointing for Daniel, obviously, but how do you see the Jets are going to cover his forced absence?
It's sort of strange because we don't really have a lot of cover at the back at the moment. Katrumbas would have probably been the natural replacement, if not the starting flank partnering him. But I think the only real other option we have at the moment is Voyitzer, and he's not exactly 100% match fit. He did come on the weekend, but.
So what are you doing there? Putting Voyitzer at right back or putting in at left back and swapping Jackson as they finish the game?
I think you got to. I don't know. It depends who you're more confident with on their right foot, because they're both left both left-footers. We're looking at three of the four defensive line being left-footed, which I can't recall too many teams around the world would have that sort of, I guess, back line at the moment. But it's hard. You know, we've got two young defenders who, you know, one of them at least is going to be playing out of position, if not both of them, which I think you probably want. You'd probably go with... I think you'd probably put Voitsa on the left and Jackson on the right as we finished. Jackson's at least had a bit more game time this season, and I think he'd be up for the challenge of taking plays on his weaker foot rather than Voitsa, who's just coming in, sort of probably has to build up a little bit of confidence again after making his first minutes. So I think Voitsa left, Jackson right.
Well, don't forget you've got Cowburn, who's played in...
you do have Cowburn.
In the back yes. position as well. So, yeah. There's a little bit of depth there, but you're dead right. It's going to be
Hoffman.
An interesting situation. Yeah, well,
you
yeah,
have Hoffman as well.
He scored a goal. Out, so,
yeah.
You know.
I was considering that, but if you have him out, who goes up front? Is it Jair yeah. up front? Is it Thurgate? It's...
That's why Ernie gets paid the big money.
Yeah.
And we can sit on the fence and scream and yell.
And another player is there as well is Jake Adelson. Jake Adelson, name who hasn't been mentioned as well. So I think
okay. So we have a couple of options then.
We do, and I think he's a bit of a long. Jakey's a little bit of a long shot, but you never know. So interesting. A player that I thought Grant was going to cause the Jets some problems, and while he did create three chances for his teammates, he didn't manage to even get a shot away during the game, was Alexander Baumjohann. I thought that the Jets marshalled him well, the job that Cantor and Stevie UG did on him, as well as the central defenders.
Oh, absolutely, and you're dead right. He was getting frustrated towards the end of the game there, and he spent a lot of time. He spent a lot of time when they were attacking, but every time he was attacking, he was spending time getting off the deck. So, you know, they were putting a lot of pressure on him and that, and I think that helped just frustrate the whole of the Wanderers attacking three there. They all had fantastic options and putting them across the face or. And that, so we, you know, count our blessings that we were lucky. But yeah, he was just getting frustrated at the end, and that's good. It's good tactics because it was putting him off his game, and he was getting a bit toey about it all. So you know, again, but that's about the strength of our backs and how well they played for that for the 90 minutes.
Add to that as well, Riera, as well, Luke, who of his 8 shots, he managed to get away 8 shots. 2 were on target, and he really had the opportunity to put us away a couple of times, and it was his poor finishing that I think probably in the end cost the Wanderers at least a point.
You can say that about Riera, but you have to include Kamau and Majok in that
yes,
as well.
Yes.
The three of them just had an absolute shocker in front of goals, and you watch, they'll probably go out next week and put 5 past whoever they're playing, but you know, luckily for us, that wasn't the case on Friday night. As I said before, Riera had that one shot at the end of the first half, open net, header at the back post, and he hits the post and it goes out for a goal kick. It was, you know, we've been on that side of it too many times over the last 11 years, where, you know, we're creating all these chances and having all these shots, and we come away with a big fat 0 goals scored and 0 points from the game. So I think you can put it down to, like, the chances were there, they just didn't take them. Any other game, they'll take them. For whatever reason, pitch, who knows? They just didn't do it.
Yeah, well, it leaves the Jets now just sitting outside the top six. They're in 7th spot, ahead of the Wanderers. They're on 5 points. The Brisbane Roar are in 6th with 6 points following their win over the weekend as well. It wasn't a pretty game, but it was effective. The Jets managed to finish off the scoring right at the death with a goal to Ronnie Vargas as well. I thought, Grant, that we always looked like a breakaway was possible, and that was the case. And, Luke, did you manage to as well work out who it was? Was it Stevie UG or Thurgate that Ronnie seemed to pinch the goal off?
I was certain it was UG.
Yeah.
Okay. But Anthony said it with so much confidence that I was like, oh, maybe he must be right.
No. Anthony's a referee, mate. Anthony's a referee. Of course he's going to sound confident in everything that he says.
Yeah, but how blind
love
he
you,
is.
Anthony. We miss you.
Yeah, but
I was just going to say, we were talking about referees. Can I just say, the chat we had from Japan on Friday night, absolutely outstanding. I saw a tweet from Stefan Mork yesterday, RE, the penalty in the Big Blue that Sydney got awarded, and he was praising the referees from Friday night and his own game on Saturday night, which were the two Japanese referees that were on the exchange. And I didn't watch that Brisbane City game, but from all accounts, both those games the referees did a great job, and it just goes to show that I think we can trash talk the VAR and everything, but at the end of the day, you're only as good as the people behind it. So if we had our officials at the level as these two Japanese lads, I think a lot of the problems that people are talking about on a weekly basis would go away.
Spot on.
Absolutely, well done. I agree. It could be something, instead of looking at investing in marquees, they could certainly look at investing in some referees instead.
I've got a question for you, Dave.
Far away.
I've got a question for you. In regards to that great ball, one of the things that Ernie was saying, that he wanted to get rid of this Brazilian one touch. He would be able to move the ball around. And I think Dimi did that extremely well, then got it off to the beautiful Ronnie Vargas to score. Do you think if that ball went to anybody else, would we have scored?
No.
I'm thinking the same thing. No. I was thinking, all I could picture was Zadkovic putting it into the 15th row or something.
If it wasn't hitting Dimi, it probably hit the best player in the park, the best other player in the park.
Yeah. It was just so casual about that because it was coming at a bit of pace. Yeah, exactly.
All right, gents, very quickly before we hear from Ernie Merrick, who is your player of the match?
I'll go first. I tell you, it was so close. I thought you mentioned earlier about Georgeski, about playing some good football. I was seriously thinking he would be my man of the match because just the work rate he was doing, he did extremely well. You know, I don't think he got a card, which was good for him. Mm-hmm. But again, look, it goes back to either. I was split again for the two workhorses in the centre of the pitch. It was either Cantor or Stevie Ugarevich, and I think I err on the side of Stevie Ugarevich again.
Stevie UG it is. What about you, Luke?
I said before, I'll stick with it, Glenn Moss for me. He made a lot of big saves, save of the week in the A-League, so he gets my vote for the week.
Good call. I'm going to stick with the Fox Sports selection, and that was Nikolai Topol-Stanley. So here, speaking of Fox Sports, thanks again for their use of their or to them for the use of their audio. Here is the Ernie Merrick press conference.
Oh, the pitch was a disgrace. I really feel for Marcus Babbel. He's come from Germany, the Bundesliga. He's played at Liverpool, wonderful player, played for Germany. He's come over here. He's had to suffer the VAR decision, a red card, and then he's had to play in a pitch like that. It's pretty tough for him. And by the way, I thought they deserved something out of the game. I thought we've played our worst football. And we won, and a clean sheet as well. I couldn't believe it. Really, it was a even game. A bit scrappy because of the surface, maybe, but a win's a win.
Were you concerned about the safety of the players and you think the game should have gone ahead?
Well, the game had to go ahead because we've already got a lot of games crammed into a short period of time. From the 1st of January to the 1st of February, we've got to play 7 games. One of them's in Perth. I'll have to send the youth team over. So we couldn't postpone the game. The shards of plastic on the ground, screws. I hope they didn't pay full price for the rental. I hope they got a discount of about 90% of that pitch. Anyway, apart from that, we both got through it. We've got one injury. I don't know whether it was caused by the pitch or not. Daniel Georgeski looks like he's torn his groin. The ground gave away because there was hard surface and then there was a patched up grass and it gave way on him, so I'm not sure exactly what his injury is just now.
And did any of the players sort of express the
pitch before the match? Yeah, they're not allowed to. If they whinge, I drop them. I look, both teams have got to play in it, so we talk about that a lot. What I was looking for really was, in the previous games, our build-up's been really good, our midfield control, our defence solid, and we're playing terrific balls into the front third, and we didn't finish. So I showed them a few videos in the last 2 weeks. In fact, I showed them a lot of videos. I knew I showed them too much because they were complaining they were running out of popcorn as I'm showing them the videos. And the videos weren't the opposition. It's how well we play into that front third. And I wanted them to finish off now. And we do it at training, but of course, there's no pressure at training. And I thought we took our two goals well. And we were unlucky not to score another two. Having said that, I reckon the Wanderers could have scored a couple as well. So it's a funny old game. You play very poorly, clean sheet, win 2-0. Can't understand it. The more I know about this game, the less I really know.
And there was still good resilience in defence. Defenders were blocking shots. Glenn Ross pulled us to good side. So I'm assuming defensively, reasonably
happy. Yes, the defence were really worked very hard. We were getting caught on the flanks a lot with the overlapping football fullbacks, Laurent on one side and Risden the other. And I thought Risden, by the way, was outstanding for the Socceroos. So, but then we knew the ball was coming in for a cross most of the time, and our centre backs and our goalkeeper managed to thwart most of that. And when a shot came in, we had numbers behind the ball. When we lost our fullback, I decided to just shore up. I'm not usually like that. I don't usually park the bus, but I did. And we played with a 4-5-1, and in the end there we could have scored a couple of, with the, caught them on the break, and they had to come forward, so we finally did catch them out, and it was good to see Dimi passing the ball to Ronnie, who finished it off.
Despite everything, a win's a win, your first win of the season, I mean, it must just feel good to sort of get off the break.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's very important to win games, and if you can play ugly and win, that's great, but I wouldn't like to play like that every week because the defibrillator's batteries run down and I think I was going to need it at one stage.
How confident you are? Momentum.
Oh, I feel we've got a good side. I think we've got good depth. We've got a few players to come into the team again. And as I say, we've played four games without a win, but we've played really well. And with the win today, that certainly helps for the next game, another away game. But a win's a win.
You've got a 9-day break now, and then we'll play Melbourne City, another tough assignment, I
imagine. Yes, Melbourne City is going to be a good challenge for us, but coming off this win and playing on a surface like Amy Park, it should be very good.
What's the latest on Joe Chapman?
He's we're waiting on the surgeon signing off his the bone in his foot, but it looks all perfect, so he can start running on Monday. But he and Roy's jumping out of his skin, determined to play, and Kane Shepherd starts running again on Monday. So we've got three strikers to come in the next three or four weeks, hopefully, and we'll need them in January. Okay? Is that outspoken enough or not?
No. All right, gents. It wasn't...
Can we use it?
Sorry?
Dave, when we put this up, can we have the little emoji guy eating the popcorn?
Why is that?
Because Ernie's comments about feeding the guys too much popcorn. That was why we played so roughly. They complained about running out of popcorn after watching all the videos.
Oh, jeez. Far out. No, we're not. No, we're not. All right. Well, it's the Jets versus the Western Sydney Wanderers wasn't the only competition to feature that fixture this weekend. The W League also saw our Jets travel to Marconi to play the Western Sydney Wanderers, the bottom of the table. And we came away with a 1-0 win in front of 652 fans, which is a really disappointing turnout down there. Jenna Kingsley, she was the player who got the goal for the Jets in the 59th minute. Another backup win, Luke. Another 1-0 win. This game wasn't on free-to-air. You could watch it through the Telstra app. But good to see that the Jets managed to get all 3 points and get it done.
Absolutely. You said before that the Wanderers are coming last, and we've part of Newcastle footballing history, well, at least in the last 10 years, is that you don't win the games you're supposed to win. And I think this is one of the games that could be danger, but they saw it off and kept another clean sheet, which put them up to, I think they're in fourth place now, but a couple of teams ahead of them have played the extra game so far. So definitely a great position to be in. 6 points out of nine, and well above Sydney and Melbourne Victory, which is always good. Melbourne City, sorry.
Melbourne City are in eighth. They're on 3 points.
Melbourne City are eight.
You're in three, yeah. Melbourne Victory currently top the table on 10 points. Perth in second on eight. Adelaide with a game in hand as well on in third on 7 points, ahead of the Jets on six. I mean, Emily Van Egmond returned back to the team. Other than that, it was a fairly, it was a pretty much a full strength lineup for the Jets, and that may actually be getting a little bit stronger, Grant, with reports in the Herald that Aaron Gilliland, fresh off getting married, is looking like that she may be coming back to the Jets to continue her career.
Look, I think that's going to make, yeah, that's really going to bolster the team, isn't it? I think that's great news for the girls, and that really should give them some heart, you know. They've won on the weekend. To all reports, my son and my granddaughter and her little friend went down, so they would have only had 599 if they didn't travel down from Maitland.
Yeah.
So, and they said it's great. And the girls, and especially big shout out to Britt, the goalkeeper, came over and remembered my granddaughter, actually, because my granddaughter did a goalkeeping coaching session with them a few weeks ago. And so they had an absolute blast. So it really is a great environment and really good for the fans. So, but getting back to Gillymore, absolutely, this is good news for them.
And look, we've got to, we must acknowledge as well that it, she has changed her surname given her recent marriage, which is why she didn't come out for the beginning of this season. It's now Aaron Wright. But yeah, I really can't wait to see Wright come back to the A-League. I think over the last two seasons she's been a star for the Newcastle Jets. She's such a hard-working midfielder, bundles of energy, and just classic box-to-box player. I think that her introduction would certainly be the tipping point for the Jets, who are probably missing Huster from last year, but I think that this might be the catalyst that the Jets need to push into that final spot and really go the one step further than they did last year. So, let's talk a little bit about then news. Well, news. Well, I talked about Aaron Gilliland. I'm just having a look here on the Herald's website, and Johnny Katrumbas actually may be in frame for a Jets recall 6 week after his surgery to remove a cancerous tumour. Surprising, Grant.
Well, as Dr. M has mentioned a couple of times, that, you know, if you're going to get a cancer, that's a good one to get. I'm not joking about that. It's a serious matter, but it is great news. And look, anybody that gets that shock to say they've been diagnosed with that sort of an ailment, it's got to be hard on you both mentally as well as physically, I suppose. And look, I think it's fantastic that the team and football and the fans have got right behind him and have shown so much support. So look, yeah, I'll be there to cheer him on when he comes out, for sure, as I'm sure that every other fan will be as well.
Mm. It looks as well Jair may also be in doubt for the trip south to Melbourne. He has an issue with his hip flexor and could be a withdrawal for this weekend, Luke. So we may actually get to see, well, Ernie's hand may be forced over the next couple of game, over the next game at least.
Yeah, geez, if that's the case, and it's, I don't know, a bit interesting if it's forced out, because if whoever replaces him comes in and does a good job, and you'd figure he probably struggled to get his starting spot back. If it's Gus, if it's someone else that comes in, then yeah, I wasn't expecting that, but yeah, there you go.
Okay, all right, well. Guys, we'll move on to one of the most important topics and the topic that everyone has been waiting for, and that is, of course, the Fantasy League. We'll start with the A-League Fantasy League update. The Head-to-Head League. Currently, we have the top of the table undefeated and by all accounts unchanged. Hajduk PV4, led by, managed by Mitch, sitting on top of the table with 13 points. Luke, you've dropped down this week. You're now down into fifth with Bogey.
I was rorted out of a win against Mitch last match day. I don't know what happened, but I was 2 points ahead of him, and then we tied somehow. And I looked. I don't know how on earth he managed to get a draw out of that.
Back.
Unbelievable. And I think my big problem in this competition is that I can't pick a captain to save my life. It's been 3 weeks in a row that the captain I've picked has got 1 point.
Well, that's no good, mate. Well,
and when I was up against Bodes, he had Taggart as his captain, so you can't compete with that.
Just got to pick whoever's playing the Mariners, mate.
I did. I picked Heo. He got 1 point. It was a disaster.
Well, Bodes is currently in second. Anthony from the pod as well. He's currently sitting in third. And listener Andrew Parr, the Partatos, is currently rounding out fourth as well. Each of these players have 4 wins and 1 loss from the 5 match day games so far. But the biggest, if I do say so myself, we're lucky that this isn't a video podcast because you'd all be able to see my smug face.
I don't think we'd be able to see anything else except your big head.
That's pretty much it. I'm lucky that these headphones are still on. But Jetapool FC came up against Wen Gilson's Summer of George. And Wen copped a spanking with my team actually coming fifth overall with 93 points for the round. The top player was on 101 points. But, yeah, no one was beating me this week with players like Hoffman, Vargas, Lafondra, Taggart, and Economides in my team, and Honda. I was doing all right. So there we go. Keep on going. So that's the head-to-head league. We'll have a quick look at the Jetstream, just general game. Craig Thompson currently sitting in second, coming behind Ronnie's Rolls-Royce's, Michael Bodie's team. Mitch is not doing so well. He's in third there. I'm currently in fourth spot. Isn't that weird? I'm in fourth spot in the just overall, and I'm in 12th spot with 2 wins and 3 losses in the head-to-head. I'm just coming up against bad weeks, I think.
That's happening to me in the EPL every week as well.
And, ABCD space FC, Joel Goodsir, the manager Joel Goodsir, is currently propping up the table down there with 30th. So, Luke, where are you sitting in the overall?
I'm 11th.
You're 11th, okay.
This is a disaster.
Well, it could be worse, mate. We've got Shane Ray, regular listener Shane Ray, down there in 17th. Matt Hutchinson, who's in 5th. I think Matt's also the... Matt, I think, may be the defending champion, though I'm going to be corrected, no doubt. Oh, no, that's Wilson. Wilso was the defending champ from last year, and I can't quite see him. But we will certainly get an update from him. We'll move over quickly to the Fantasy League and the classic standings there. We've got Ryan Stanmore leading the way in the head-to-head league with 8 wins, 1 draw, and 3 losses from the 12 matches so far on 25 points. And it's really top between first and fourth. I'm there on fourth, in fourth on 24 points. James Dawes has got 25 points. And Glenn Wilson with Carhold FC has 25 points as well.
Bodes is doing Glenn not too long ago.
Yeah, where are you? You are. You're in 13th out of 18th, mate. 6-6, so not doing too bad. And Teamy McTeamface, just ahead of Teamy McTeamface, who's on 15 points. Gaz Fisher's Fisherman, 1-11. So they're currently the Cardiff of the division. So some challenges there. Though the round is not finished. And in the overall league, with 27 players, we've got Danny Palmer into Western Jets, rounding out the table. Frodo Baggins, mate, what's the matter, you? Some of these names are fantastic, I've got to say. 504 points, but then we look up the top and we've got Shane Ray's Rama Lama FC on 764 points with a bit of a lead over Luke Durbin. Josh Laverty, who's been winning the competition for quite a while with I'm Not Sorry, fourth with Sorry Ball FC and Ryan Stanmore as well. Luke, how are you going in this one? 13th as well, CAFFFC. 665 points, mate, you're about 100 points off first. So,
I have one good week and then three bad weeks. One day I'll be consistent.
Might be time to look at using some of those bonuses. Oh, the wild cards have been used. Well, there's always next year, mate.
There's always next year.
Yeah. So thanks everyone who's been playing and joining in on them. We hope that you're having fun, and bragging rights are certainly a week by week proposition. I think that about wraps up the pod. Gents, thank you very much for joining me. Anything else you'd like to say before we go?
No, thanks for the contributors to the Facebook questions and that. Hopefully answered your questions.
Yep, just having a look. Kind of have. We did certainly speak about Jackson at left back and Jair. We spoke about Arnold Schwarzenegger. We also spoke about Jair's performance as well. So, yeah, thank you very much for everyone who took the time to... Simon Frey will probably get to Thurgate starting on Thursday's pod. So thanks very much, everyone. Luke, thanks, of course, for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
No worries. And thanks again, everyone, for listening. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. You can also get in touch with us at newcastlefootball.net/forums and podcast at newcastlefootball.net. Hope you've all enjoyed this week's episode. Until we speak again, go the
Remember,
Jets.
Remember,
go the Jets.
Vamos el Jocos. Well, I'm down, Benjamin.